And we have to be careful, even as Christians, to ever try to bring glory upon ourselves or on man. And God gives us that warning. So starting in verse 8 of Isaiah 42, God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. So I've entitled tonight's message, My Glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word in our hearts tonight to teach us and to grow us. We're thankful for this privilege. And Lord, we just want to hear from you. So we give you our service, we give you our hearts, and pray you'll now work a miracle. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God begins this truth by reminding us who he is. I am the Lord. Now that whenever you see the Lord, name Lord in the Bible with all caps, the Hebrew behind that name is Jehovah, the self-existent one. So God is saying, I am Jehovah. I am the self-existent one. I'm completely self-sufficient. I've always been. I always will be. And that is my name. And he says, and my glory will I not give to another. Now, he talks about the graven images, and we understand that. But we need to talk about his glory. Because there are some examples in the Bible where people have tried to bring glory upon themselves, and God had to use them as an illustration, if you will. But he also warns us many times in Scripture about ever trying to bring glory upon ourselves or upon man or upon anything or anyone other than God. Because he says he will not give his glory to another. God does not share his glory. And we have to be mindful of that. So let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to start with, where God explains that this is one of the reasons why when he chose his disciples, he primarily chose fishermen, tax collectors, common everyday people. Now, Paul was kind of the exception to that rule, and God had his reasons for that, for reaching out beyond. But when he initially chose the 12, notice 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Bible says, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and all things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. This is God speaking. And so God makes it very clear that he is not going to share his glory with anyone. That no flesh should glory in his presence. And yet, we are selfish, we're sinners, we're fallen man. This is one of our problems, isn't it? Because we inherited our sin nature from Adam, of course. And what was the original problem with the fall of the devil? Pride. Pride. When you read about it in Isaiah 14, what did the devil want? He wanted God's glory, ultimately. He said, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be the one that everybody worships. I. When you read in Isaiah 14 about the fall of the devil. So we inherited this problem, this eye problem, capital I. Sorry, brother. We've got an eye doctor. We've got to be careful. I, me. That's what the world's all about now, isn't it? It's all about making self happy, pleasing self, but also about self-glorification. And God warns us over and over. So let's look at some more scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 9 this time, if we could, and verse 23. And these are warnings from God Almighty about glory being given to anything or anyone other than God Himself. Notice Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So God says, if there's anything you can glory in, glory in the fact that you know God. And that's it. In other words, be grateful that you know the one that's worthy of all glory. But you can see the warning there. Don't ever try to seek glory for self. And that's a tough thing. It's a tough thing for us as God's children. So he also warns us in Galatians 5. He says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at one other passage. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. And I'll ask Gavin if he would look in the top right-hand drawer of my desk for some batteries, because I think my microphone's dying. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. So this is what it used to sound like before we had the sound system, huh? For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou what? Glory, as if thou hadst not received it. So what's God saying here? We're all different. We all have different strengths. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And what's God telling us? It all came from Him. If you have a gift, if you have an ability, God gave it to you. He's saying, so if God is the one that gave it to you, what right do you have to glory in that thing? Only God should get the glory, because He's the source of all things. So you can see where God is warning us never to glory in anything relating to self, our own abilities, our own gifts, or whatever. Thank you so much, my brother. Sorry if that happened in the middle of a message, but we'll get there. We'll go to Acts chapter 12 and see an example. Now that we've looked at some warnings, I'd like to show us an example. This is one of the really obvious examples. His name was Herod. Most of you know this story. But notice Acts chapter 12, verse 21. Herod was a Gentile king in the times of the apostles. And notice Acts 12, verse 21. The Bible tells us here, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat down upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." Do you see that little phrase? Gave not God the glory. Herod was trying to bring that glory upon himself. And when the people shouted and said, it is a god, what should he have done? I'm just a man. If you're going to give glory to anybody, give it to God, our Creator, Jehovah. But instead, he reveled in this adoration of the people and them saying, it is God. And he sat there and said, oh, this feels so good. And to teach us a lesson, and to teach them a lesson, God killed him instantly. Most of us know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a good Old Testament example. God blessed Nebuchadnezzar. At one point, he was one of the most powerful kings on the earth. You can read about him in the book of Daniel. And he had an amazing kingdom. And one day he was walking around saying, wow, look what I've done. Literally looking at the kingdom and saying, it's just amazing what I've done. And God said, guess it's time for you to learn a lesson. He didn't strike him dead like he did Herod, but he did make him grow hair and run around on the ground for a couple of years and eat grass. Imagine that. And after all that happened, he came back. God allowed him to come back to himself, and he said, God is great. God gets all the glory. God's done everything. So I guess he learned his lesson. But we need to make sure we always understand this lesson, that true humility is never bringing honor or praise or glory to self, but always having the position that we're just servants, we're just stewards, and that God is the source of all that's good. God is the source of all things. Let's look at James chapter 3, where God tells us that very thing, that He is the source. And so, let's think about it. Every time we draw attention to ourselves, we essentially are grieving the Holy Spirit, because that was due God. Because God is the one that's supposed to get all the glory. You know, the Holy Ghost is God. And even He, the Bible says, doesn't draw attention to Himself. He points everyone to Jesus, who is the one that's worthy of the worship. But the Holy Ghost is worthy of worship as well, but He takes that position of a servant, pointing everyone to Christ. We need to make sure we always have that same position. So James chapter 3, notice verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That actually wasn't the verse I was after. It's chapter 1, verse 17. Let's turn there. It's actually a good verse, but not what we're talking about tonight. James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that you have, every ability that you have, everything that you possess, it's not yours. It's God's. We're just stewards. We're stewards even of the breath that we breathe. We're stewards of everything. We don't really own anything. And the day we chose to get saved, we even gave God ourselves. The Bible says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So we don't even own ourselves anymore. We don't own anything. And what God is saying is, if you don't own anything, if it all came from Him, then where do we ever have a place, as we've read there in 1 Corinthians 4:7, to ever glory? So God has made it so clear in this passage that God will not share His glory. He will not give His glory to another. Because you know what? Man's glory, if you go to 1 Peter 1:24, is nothing in comparison to God. Well, and by the way, when we witness to people, how often do we use Romans 3:23? All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. We often don't really think much about what that's saying. We come short of the glory of God. Now look at 1 Peter 1:24. The Bible says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. So flesh is as grass. I mean, grass at least hangs around a little while. He's talking about now the flower of the grass, where if you let grass sit, it grows up and eventually it gets these little flowers, right? And they don't last very long. He's saying that's the glory of man. It's as the flower of the grass. In other words, it's just so insignificant. So our attitude must always be one that God is worthy of all glory. You know, John the Baptist had this attitude. Somebody preached on this verse. Oh, one of the young men Monday night preached on John 3:30, where John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. Because John the Baptist got a lot of attention in his early part of his ministry, didn't he? He was baptizing people in the desert. He was preaching. People were listening. People were coming to him and saying, what's going on? Who are you? And he made that statement there in John 3. He must increase. I must decrease. I'm just the forerunner. I'm just the messenger. The one who comes after me is what? I'm not worthy to even tie his shoes, essentially, in modern day speech. That's the attitude. And this is John the Baptist. The Bible says, of all that are born among men, there's not greater than John the Baptist. And he said, I'm not worthy to even tie his shoes. That's the attitude I think God wants us to go through in life. Who are we? Wicked sinners. Only going to heaven because of what Jesus did. And so we never, ever have a place for glory. And so who is due all the glory? Let's go back to our passage, Isaiah 42. And we saw there that he won't share his glory, he won't give it to another. But notice in verse 10, for example, he says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." Verse 12, "Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands." So we understand God won't share his glory. We understand that we as man never have a place to glory in anything that we've done or anything that we have. But God left us here to bring him glory. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. Bring him glory through what you say and what you do. That's why we're left behind after we get saved, as opposed to just going to heaven. We're here to give glory to God. Every time we witness, that brings glory to God. Every time we praise the Lord, that brings glory to God. Every time we get on our knees and go into his word and pray, that brings glory to God. We're here to bring glory to God. If you had to say, what's my main purpose for being on the earth? Right there it is. Look at Psalm 29, if you would, in verse 2. We'll just look at a couple of scriptures about this truth, that we are here to bring God glory. So there's two sides of this coin. One of the side is, we're never to bring glory to self. But the other side is, we are to be focusing on bringing glory to him. Psalm 29, notice verse 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Most of us know 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." The glory of God. To bring God glory. That's why we're here. Look at Romans 16:27. Romans chapter 16, verse 27, the Bible says, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." What's he saying? Everything we do, everything we are, everything we say should be to bring glory to God. And it's interesting, if you go to Revelation chapter 4, now Revelation chapter 4 looks like it's recording the future event of Christians in heaven with the Lord. That's us. After the rapture, we'll be in heaven with the Lord. We've been through the judgment seat of Christ. We have our robes of righteousness. We're around the throne giving praise unto the Lord. And look at one of the things we're going to be saying in heaven. Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive," there it is, "glory. Glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Who's saying this? The 24 elders. Remember, we studied this in Sunday school. The 24 elders, there's really only one group they can represent, and that's the church. And they are, or should say we are, we are singing in heaven and saying, "God's worthy to receive glory." So we'll be saying it in heaven. We need to learn to say it down here constantly, that it all is to be to the glory of God. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all glory. And so everything we do should be to bring glory to God. We'll look at one more passage and finish. Psalm 40, where David is recounting what God has done in his life. You know, we saw there in Isaiah 42:10 where the Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." When we sing praises unto the Lord, we're bringing him glory. We're lifting him up. We're glorifying him. And notice David says here in Psalm 40, Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he hath set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Look at verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. We're supposed to be singing that new song, the song of praise, the song of giving him all glory, because he's worthy of all glory. So we, like I say, two sides to this. Number one, we're never, ever, ever given permission to bring glory to self, glory to man. Number two, we are here ultimately to bring glory to him. In everything we say, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because God says he will not share his glory. It is his and his alone. My glory. Let's pray.